All right. Good morning, everybody. this morning we're going to be looking at the difference between the spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, Paul mentions wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. He then goes on to say, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he has determined. Now, I don't think very many, if any of us, have all of those gifts, and certainly don't have them all at the same time. He spreads them around. But then move on. Can we have the first slide, Graham? To the fruit of the Spirit. And there's an important thing to note, that it's the fruit of the Spirit. There is only one fruit. So if we can have the next slide, Graham. Oops, we moved on to that. So the fruit of the Spirit is made up of various nine different traits that we can see along the bottom of the. Can you read it all right? Yeah. But they all form together as one. It's a bit like, if we go on to the next slide, Graham, that if we take one bit out, you've no longer got a whole fruit or the whole fruit of the Spirit, because part is missing. Who's paying attention can tell which bit's missing? Sorry? Peace. Well done. And so we can have the next slide, Graham, because what we'll do now, if two are missing, then it's all split into bits. And we can have the next one, Graham, because now I'll start to look at, hopefully you can read this all right. First, going through each of the traits and looking first at what the dictionary defines them as, and then how we should actually apply them. So love, the dictionary definition is fondness, charity, an affection of mind caused by that which delights, strong liking, devoted attachment to one of the opposite sex, sexual attachment, the object of affection, a term of endearment, Cupid, Eros, kindness, to be fond of, to delight in, with exclusive affection, to regard with benevolence. So how do we actually apply that? Well, these are the thoughts that I had, and I welcome any additional thoughts that anybody may have. People talk about sex as making love. Love is not something that you can make. You can't get a piece of this and a piece of that and stick them together and have something new. Love is organic. It starts with a small seed and must grow. When it reaches maturity, one's love for someone means you naturally and without thinking about it place their needs, wishes before yours. You are willing to forego doing or seeing things that you would rather be doing. You get to the point where you can anticipate their needs before they express them. I don't know whether anybody can think of anything they could want to add to that. No, in which case, shall we move on to the next one then? So joy, the dictionary defines as an intense gladness, rapture, mirth, the cause of joy, the beloved one, to rejoice, to be glad, to exult. And I thought we could apply that. Joy is being content in every situation. That does not mean being joyful about the situation. Joy is something that is in our hearts and not in our minds. There will inevitably be times when we feel incredibly sad or upset by something that has happened, but we can still exhibit joy because we have the certainty that Jesus is with us and we are not alone and that he is in control. Hallelujah. And I think we can apply that particularly. I'm sure most of us have been very upset and depressed by what we've been seeing on our television screens for the last few weeks. But we do have the certainty that God is in control. And therefore, we don't need to be to be depressed. We can still be joyful. I mean, if we were right now in the middle of Kyiv or Mariupol, that might be rather more difficult, if we're honest. And we might well be feeling a bit like Job and saying, "Hey, God, what on earth are you up to?" But we do have the certainty that he is in control. The next one then, Graham. So that really leads into peace, which the dictionary defines as a state of quiet, freedom from disturbance, freedom from war, freedom from contention, ease of mind or conscience, tranquility, quiet, stillness, or silence. And I thought, complete peace can only come when we have inner joy, which we have just been looking at. It means at times controlling our gut reactions to a situation. Trust that God is in control. He sees the whole picture, where we may only look at one little corner. Also recognize that the Hebrew word shalom embraces so much more than our word peace. Again, I don't know whether anybody would like to add anything to that. No? Okay then, Graham. So the next one is patience, which the dictionary defines as the quality of being able to calmly to endure suffering, toil, delay, vexation, or the like, sufferance. And I thought this is probably one segment of the fruit of the Spirit that all of us find the most difficult to keep or practice. We are all naturally impetuous, impatient. In every situation, we need to learn to trust God, to know that Jesus is there, walking alongside us, even when we don't perceive it. Graham? Thank you.
Thank you.
they've got kindness, the quality or the fact of being kind or a kind act, looking out for the needs of others, a willingness to be self-sacrificing or to go the extra mile to help someone. As a Christian, this is something that should come as second nature to us. People are often too proud or too shy to ask for help. We'll ask for help for one thing when their real need is for something completely different. We need to be tuned to what the Holy Spirit may be telling us about a particular person. There is, of course, rough type of kindness. If you see someone standing on the edge of a precipice, one would not hesitate to warn them. If, however, we see someone obviously on the road to hell, we are often too afraid to say something for fear of offending them. Is that really kindness? Just pause there for a moment and just give that a little bit of thought. I think particularly pertinent in our preparation for Whitney Well next week. Goodness, the virtue of excellence, benevolence, substitute for God in certain expressions, as for goodness sake. This means doing everything as if we were doing it for Jesus or on behalf of Jesus, as his representatives on earth, seeking perfection in all we do, but equally not beating ourselves up if we don't quite make it. We are not Jesus. We will make mistakes. We will fall short of his glory. But we've tried our best, and more importantly, we have learned from our mistakes. Satan will try and persuade us that because we have made a mistake, we shouldn't try again. But remember, our goal is not to do things in our own strength, but with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready, Greg? Faithfulness. The fullness of faith or belief. Firmness in adherence or promise. Duty, friendship, love, etc. Loyalty, sincerity. For us as Christians, faithfulness operates on two different levels. First, there is our faithfulness to God. That means an absolute belief in who he is, that Jesus is now and was his son when he walked the earth. An unwavering belief in the truth of the Bible and what it teaches us. If this is true, then it should become second nature to be faithful in our relationships with one another. As the City of London used to operate on the word is our bond, and for hundreds of years, that was how millions of pounds changed hands in the city. Sadly, that's no longer the case. Or yes, must be yes. There should be no room for doubt or saying one thing and meaning or doing something quite different. And you're ready, Greg? Gentleness, soft-heartedness, or sympathetic feeling. acting with empathy is not when we have not been through a similar situation, that being experienced by someone else, but we can at least try. Even if we can't empathize, we may be able to gently encourage people to release their burdens to Jesus, or just be there as a shoulder to cry on. Going back to the question I posed at the end of the section on kindness, can we be gentle and sympathetic in a way that would tell someone they are on the wrong path? Make it clear it is their sin you are condemning, not themselves. And like God, you will continue to love them. Self-control. The power of controlling one's eternal reactions, emotions, and equanimity. Having the discipline not to react immediately to a situation, but taking time first to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit within us, guiding and telling us how or what to say or do. A hasty, uncontrolled reaction may make a situation worse. And I think in many ways it's actually that self-control that helps bind the fruit together. So actually, yeah, so that we're going back to that. So the whole, and I think all of those traits actually interact with one another. You can't really separate one from another. And in fact, actually, I think if my ability, computer graphics was better, rather than having nice little bits of equal pie, which actually in some ways reminds me a bit like a German cake, because in Germany you can buy a sort of thing you can put on top of your cake and push it down that marks the cake nicely into absolutely exactly the same size pieces. So there's no argument. He's got a bigger bit than me. But really, actually, what we should really look at it as like bits of a puzzle, so that one bit sort of joins into the other, so that they're all linked together. And actually, if you tried to pull one out, you would actually rip it apart, because they wouldn't just slide out. And actually, really the reverse of what we've just been looking at the beginning of the passage on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, Paul lists a whole lot of things that we should avoid: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgy and the like. He then says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Which is why it's important that then, at the end of the passage really we've been looking at, he goes on to say, those who belong to Christ have been crucified, the flesh, with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envious of one another. And I think it's our job as individuals and collectively as a body to help and encourage one another to fully live with the Spirit. There will be times when we all fall short and perhaps need a little nudge to get us back in alignment. So I'd just like to finish with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us the fruit of the Spirit, and we just ask for your help in maintaining it in a healthy condition, that in doing so and with others, with your help, your glory will be reflected in us, and others will want to know where it comes from. Amen.